If you lived near or in Philadelphia in 1985, you probably remember where you were 30 years ago today during the move incident. Debate continues to this day over what happened and why, but many see the bombing as part of a decades-long tradition of violent policing practices aimed at African Americans. WHYY's Jeanette Woods reports on how the anniversary is being remembered in that neighborhood.
Two little boys chase each other on scooters around a group of girls playing double dutch on the sidewalk in West Philadelphia's Cobbs Creek neighborhood. Poet and teacher Andrea Walls grew up a lot like this.
We played running bases and double dutch and tag and 1-2-3 Ringo, You're My Man, and Catch a Girl, Kiss a Girl, and Atlantic City Baseball.
Walls grew up on the 6200 block of Spruce, two blocks from the move house. She remembers that everyone, block by block, looked after each other.
My neighborhood just felt so safe, and it had nothing to do with the police. It had to do with the people on their porches and their house coats looking out. It wasn't until you stepped out of your neighborhood that the police became troubling, when it didn't feel safe to go downtown or to Center City.
Gerald Renfro has lived on the 6200 block of Osage Avenue for most of his life. When MOVE set up house a few doors away, Renfro says at first he was fine with his new neighbors, but not for long.
MOVE started boarding up their windows and doors. They erected a stage where they could espouse their philosophy with loudspeakers, using profanity all hours of the day and night.
Renfro's home burned in the 1985 fire, but was rebuilt. He still lives on the same spot, and he's still upset about what happened to MOVE.
City Hall took the position that we'll exterminate him.
Violent, overzealous policing against the black community had been a complaint across the city for decades. When Wilson Good, the first black mayor of Philadelphia, took office in 1984, there were high hopes that his administration would usher in sweeping police reform. Donald Tibbs, a law professor at Drexel University, says to understand what happened between authorities and MOVE, you need to look at the history of blacks being met with force when they challenged the white establishment, from slave revolts to the beating of civil rights protesters.
You see that the police have developed a framework for managing black self-determination, which really is any blackness that challenges the sort of white mainstream way of life.
Throughout the 1970s, MOVE and police and fire crews clashed as the group defied legal efforts to regulate their back-to-nature lifestyle. When a police officer died in a siege of another home occupied by MOVE, it left intense anger on both sides. 30 years later, complaints about how city police interact with residents still endure. A recent investigation by the U.S. Justice Department recommended 91 changes to policies that govern the use of deadly force. Philadelphia Police spokesperson Lieutenant John Stanford says that policing has evolved a lot in three decades.
You know, we don't want those days of MOVE returning, in the sense of we don't want the community to feel how members of the community felt during that incident.
He says the department is reviewing the Justice Department's recommended changes and revising officer training and policies on use of force. Poet Andrea Walls was 21 when the bombing happened and thinks the city can still learn from what went wrong then.
You know, it's so interesting when we think that, well, it couldn't happen again. And I feel like it's happening again every day in the increments of, you know, what happens in Ferguson and what happens in Staten Island and what happens in Oakland.
30 years after one of the country's most extreme incidents of police brutality, Philadelphia's police force is still struggling to regain the trust of a large chunk of the public it's sworn to serve. For WHYY, I'm Jeanette Woods.